This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to Rumbunter Radio. This is episode number 85, Trey Yannity, joined with Noah Wright tonight. Noah, it has been a fun month of July so far. Get into it here.
Yeah.
Really a fun month of June as well as we kind of wrap that up. The Pirates and the Yankees squared off this week. Just a two-game set. Pirates got a game to much of the nation's surprise. They're now 6-2 against the Dodgers and the Yankees. This team gets hot when they play the right squads here, Noah. Want to know how you're doing as we start the episode tonight. I know you have a lot of great content out right now on rumbunter.com, and that is why you guys need to go check it out. Go to Rumbunter. Follow us on Twitter as well, at Rumbunter. But as we get into the show tonight, Noah, how are you doing? And just your thoughts on these last few weeks of Pirates baseball.
Doing great. Thank you for calling my stuff quality stuff. I appreciate that. But, you know, just seeing the Pirates beat a World Series contender again, it's always satisfying, especially when the crowd is more Yankee fans than Pirate fans.
Yeah.
To me, taking one game of the series in front of that kind of crowd is just always super satisfying when there's more of the away team fans than the home team fans winning any game. That's just so fun about it.
Dude, it's amazing to think that, you know, in front of a half, like you said, split Yankees Pirates crowd, they're able to pull out game one at least. And, you know, it was incredibly special for a lot of different reasons. One of those reasons, Jameson Taillon made his return to PNC Park. And like you said, in front of a lot of fans, a lot of Yankees and Pirates
crowd,
fans.
Decent crowds.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, what you think this night meant to Jameson, what it was for the city of Pittsburgh, and, you know, overall, what the Pirates did to find a way to get that win over Taillon.
See, I still love Taillon because I've just always felt bad for him because, I mean, the kid has Tommy John surgery in 2013 and misses the rest of that year and most of 2014. He comes up in 2016 and he starts looking at like that guy we all thought he was going to be. And then, you know, the year later he has the cancer and that's just terrible. You know, that just sucks all the way around. And then comes out 2018 and again, looks like that guy that everyone was looking for and thought that he could be that ace. And, you know, he, next year, I mean, it just seemed like he couldn't catch a break. It just seems like he couldn't catch a break. But, you know, I'm happy he's over in New York doing pretty solid there. He's in a stacked rotation. He might not be the best pitcher in that, but hey, you know, he has a 3.63 ERA. And that's in a rotation when you have a bunch of aces. 3.63 might not stand out, but in the end, it's still going to get the job done. But I'm happy for him, but I'm more happy that we got the win that day.
Yeah. Great to see him get at least one there. They did split the series 1-1. And, you know, game two got a little bit out of hand there, 16-0. But 11 runs in those last two innings there really made it lopsided at the end. But it's been fun, Noah. I know it's been a while since we talked. Haven't talked since the O'Neill Cruz call up in 2022. You know, just kind of your thoughts on these last few weeks as we get into the show tonight. You know, what's been your favorite part of it all? And what do you think is the long-term plan for guys like O'Neill Cruz, Blyman Driss, even some of the guys we got to see earlier, the Travis Swaggerty's and Lyle Pergueros, guys like that?
I think we're just starting to scratch the surface of what we're going to see. I mean, you know, we're talking about all those guys, but, you know, what about Mike Burrows, who's at AAA now? He just recently got promoted there. He had a rough – his last two starts haven't been great, but I mean, you know, two starts and he hasn't pitched that much. Can't really take too much stock in that. Still dominate at AA, and, like, every source has said how great he is. You know, Quinn Priester's back. He's looking pretty good at AA. Nick Gonzalez will eventually get here. And Henry Davis just got nominated to the Futures game.
Yep.
Get him and who was the other? Do you remember the other guy? I think.
Yeah, Michael Burrows.
Burrows. So, you know, you got all those guys in the upper minors and other ones like we said, Swaggy already, who made his debut. Jiwon Bae is still there and he's dominating. He's just absolutely tore up AAA pitching. Kyle Nicholas has done really good at double A. He's one of the other guys we got in that Stallings deal. So, I mean, you got all these guys that in the upper minors, and there's more. I'm probably forgetting, you know, Carmen Majinski, Tyon Thomas, who's coming off a pretty good stretch. I saw someone posted in our chat that in the last month, over the last month, he has like a 2.16 ERA and 18 strikeouts in 15 innings as a reliever. I mean, you got a lot of talent in the upper levels of the minor leagues there. I mean, it's starting to look a lot brighter. You're starting to see that light at the end of the tunnel, per se.
Oh yeah. It's starting to form. I mean, it's been a long wait. You know, we've been waiting since 2020 is when I would like to think started this rebuild officially.
Yeah.
The reign of Ben Cherington, at least. And, you know, he's had two drafts now and he's really gotten to put his plan into work. And we're starting to see it, but it takes time. And that being said, you know, you need guys like the Jose Quintanas of the world, the veterans that you can get on short-term deals. Jose Quintana was the pitcher for the Pirates that night, the opposer of Jameson Taillon, and had a thrilling start. He has been amazing this season, Noah. And I know this is a guy that you might want to see return to Pittsburgh. He will be a free agent after this season. What are your thoughts as we slowly approach this trade deadline on guys like Jose Quintana?
I personally love Quintana, and I want so badly just to extend him to like a 2-year deal, get him for 2023 and 2024, maybe throw in like a player option or a team option or something there, a cheap, even a team option or something for 2025. And I mean, I understand that Quintana is not a young kid in baseball terms. You know, he's 32 or so. I'm not sure on his exact age, but I mean, he's not young. You also got to consider he's 33 now, and he'll be 34 next year. He's not young. You got to consider the last few years, you know, injuries, underperformance. And it's like, how much longer are we gonna bet on this half season that he's back to being the Quintana he was in his early days with the White Sox? Or it's kind of you understand that risk there, but. I just love to have that kind of pitcher. Even if he's not the, you know, 3.37 ERA guy, he is, you know, maybe a 3.80 or so ERA. I still like him back because I think we need that veteran rotation anchor to, you know, a pretty young pitching staff. You know, Contreras, Zach Thompson, Brubaker. Those guys are pretty Keller. I mean, it's a bunch of pretty inexperienced guys who only have a year or two under their belt, and having a young rotation anchor eventually when guys like Priester, Nicholas, Majinski, Bolton come up, you know, it's nice to have just that guy that you can be like, all right, he's going to go out and give us 6 innings or something today. And, you know, I understand we're going to probably trade him, but I mean, I still, that doesn't change the fact that I would rather see us extend him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think at this point, you could at the deadline. Would probably be the wisest move, but I get where you're coming from as well. It would be great to have that veteran, to have that guy to kind of mentor these young pitchers. There's a lot of them. And that being said, you know, we look over to game two. Mitch Keller is putting together a nice start until things start to unravel there. What are your thoughts on Keller at this point in the season? We're seeing a better version of him, but, you know, is this good enough at this point?
I mean, Keller is, to me, the most frustrating pitcher I personally have ever watched, because he shows this, you know, he'll go out there and pitch five or six really good innings one start, and then he'll go out the next start and then struggle. I have been probably Keller's biggest fan since he got to the big leagues, and I have said before that I am not going to jump off the Mitch Keller train until he is out of the major leagues, and that hasn't changed yet. So not doing it. I'm still gonna root for Keller, and he might frustrate the hell out of me, but I mean, it is what it is. Even if he turns into a solid back of the rotation guy, I'll be perfectly fine with that. But I would love to see him reach that ceiling that we all know he has, because it would just be nice to have another really quality pitcher in the rotation, obviously. But you get he added that sinker, and he's looked better with it so far. He hasn't looked like an all-star, but it would just be nice to see him work on that sinker and get it to the point where it's a very, very, very reliable pitch. So we'll see what happens with him, but I'm still going to root for him regardless of what happens.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this is a guy that has tried incredibly hard to change things and to improve, especially this past offseason. And we've seen a little bit of it. And, you know, as we kind of crawl through this season, I think the opportunities are continuing to, you know, to be there for him. But yeah, I think Keller, you know, is one of these guys that they will work with, though. And I hope he figures it out all the way, even if we get a little bit better version of this. I think it's improvement and it's hope for the future. You know, but as we look kind of towards the deadline now, Noah, maybe talk about some potential trades for a guy like Jose Quintana or maybe other Pirates. An early deadline preview here. Who do you see the Pirates being most interested in trading with? Which teams, maybe even players that you have in mind? We're going to go and do a whole deadline preview here in about a month. But as we kind of start to look in an early preview, what do you see happening in the beginning of August?
Definitely, I definitely think Ben Gamble's out the door. I mean, I love Gamble, I like him, but let's look at the outfield right now. You got Brian Reynolds. I'm just gonna say right now, I don't want to talk about Brian Reynolds rumors because I don't think he's gonna get traded. The Pirates haven't traded a guy who's both younger than 30 and had more than 3 years of control left, and I just don't see Reynolds trading. That's a discussion for another day, but I mean, you got Brian Reynolds in center who's finally turned on the Jets. Last month, he's been great. Jack Suwinski, who's leading the national, who's leading rookies in home runs. You got Blaine Madris in right field. You got Kyle Mitchell and Travis Swaggerty at AAA. And you have Jiwon Bae, who's played a lot of outfield this year. I mean, I understand Gamble's a good guy and a decent player, but he's not. You know, he's not a Mike Trout. He doesn't have this irreplaceable level of production. And you trade him, get some stuff back, you call up Mitchell again, or you call up Swaggerty again, and let them take over his role.
How about Cannon Smith and Jigba even? Gotta get healthy, yeah. Obviously, but you know, you look down the road, I think that's a fair assessment there, because I don't think Ben Gamble, like you said, for as much of that veteran presence, good guy. Presence that he brings is going to be worth it with all his talent down there.
Yeah. It's just kind of like we don't need him. You know, it's not an absolute need, but yeah, it's with all the talent coming up. To me, he's the easiest guy to trade because his overall offense isn't irreplaceable. And we got guys in the minor leagues who are demanding right now to be called up. Like, Swaggerty, Mitchell, and Bae right now have nothing left to prove at AAA, if you ask me. They have to get called up here at some point.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be tough because it's been an amazing comeback story, if you want to call it that, for Ben Gamble over these last two seasons. But, you know, his time with Pittsburgh may be coming to a close here at the end of July and August. You know, as we kind of look down the road even further here, Noah, what do you see happening in the draft? Even closer, I guess, really, on July. I believe the 19th is when it begins, and we're going to do a special for that one as well. But I'm not sure if we'll see you before that, Noah. Just kind of your thoughts on what the Pirates are thinking strategy-wise. Maybe even just a little big board, what you got here.
So, I mean, everyone's having the Pirates draft a college guy fourth overall. And to me, that's really frustrating because I think the best talents in this draft are high school guys. I love Tamar Johns. Like, I did my mock draft for the most recent one. And I had Tamar Johns. I want the Pirates to pick Tamar Johnson fourth overall. This guy has had a scout compared him to Vladimir Guerrero Sr. in terms of bat-to-ball skill, and Wade Boggs in terms of plate discipline. To me, plate discipline and ability to hit the ball are two of the most important, two of the best ways you can identify whether or not a guy is going to be good if he can draw walks and avoid strikeouts. So to me, he's perfect to me. Not only that, he hits for power and he's a decent middle infielder. And everyone says, oh, he's going to fall past, you know, the top three. I would love for us to pick him. And I mean, I'm not going to be upset if we pick Brooks Lee, and it is what it is if we pick him, but it's just like, I would much rather have Johnson at that fourth hole.
Do you think those are the only two? I mean, What do you think, I guess, is the best case scenario and the worst case scenario for the Pirates at that number four slot?
So best case scenario would be in the event that the teams in front of us decide to go under slot and we somehow get Drew Jones. Drew Jones is probably everything I've looked at. Everyone seems to agree that he's the best draft prospect right now. I mean, he has the pedigree, he has the bloodline, he's done phenomenal in high school. You know, he looks like a superstar already. And I know that's kind of like a cheap way of analyzing a guy, but I mean, the dude just looks incredible, and he's probably gonna go number one, if not number two. So I'm kind of accepting it's probably not gonna happen. Worst case scenario is probably to me is like if we went underslot with Jacob Berry. Jacob Berry's still a great hitter, but I mean, he's a first mini project him just to be a first base DH only guy. I mean, I love the bat, but it's like, can you really go with that? I mean, if we go underslot, I guess, and that worked under going underslot worked great last year. We got Solometto, Chandler, Bishop, and White Jr. because we decided to go with Davis, but I mean, Davis can kind of play catcher, and Jacob Berry can only play first base. To me, there's a massive difference between that. And I know Berry is a guy that could hit 300 with like 35 home runs, but it's like he's only going to be a first base designated hitter. And I think you got to try and find a little bit more value than that at number four.
Yeah, I mean, four is a lot different than one, too. Like last year, you have 1-1. You can almost turn that into three picks, and that going under slot there just made so much sense. This year at four, you know, it makes it a little bit harder to kind of use that strategy, I think, for Ben Cherington. But, you know, if you talk about that best case scenario and the potential for maybe a guy like Drew Jones, the Orioles are a team that could go under, or yeah, excuse me, the Orioles are number one. They could go under slot there. Then you got number two is the D-backs, another potential to go under slot. And, you know, then you have the Rangers. They might go at their slot value, but there's a potential for it. No, I don't think we need to be giving up on Drew Jones quite yet.
Yeah.
And even, you know, some of these other guys, Elijah Greens, that are going to be taken in the top 10. You can't go wrong, but it would be – I'm right there with you. I think it would be amazing if they could secure Termar Johnson. He is one of my favorite players out of this class, out of Mays High School there in Atlanta.
He's my favorite, too.
Has to be. I mean, there's so much talent in this draft. This draft is a lot of fun.
It's a very high school heavy draft. You know, when was the last time you saw like the top five guys all being high schoolers? You got Drew Jones, Jackson Holliday, Elijah Green, and Termar Johnson. That's a very, very good group of high school talent.
It makes it so much more fun. You even have guys like Justin Crawford or even the Cam Colliers of the world. There's a lot of high schoolers in this draft. Even guys like Jackson Ferris that have slid. This is going to be a fun draft, and we're going to have a whole preview on it. Like I said, a little bit later as we creep towards it near the middle to the end of the month there. But Noah, as we move it along here on Real Madrid Radio, got to direct everybody back over to the website. I know you have a bunch of articles out right now, and so does the rest of our staff. This is the heart of the season, so go check it out, guys. We're going to be talking about the draft a lot and this deadline as well. But, you know, as we kind of look to this week and a little bit more to the big leagues again here, Jason DeLay comes up for the second time, his second appearance on Thursday, gets a hit in game number one there. Really special moment, drove in a run.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, what you expect out of Jason DeLay the rest of the season and, you know, the timeline on how long we see him.
I kind of want DeLay to stay here for a while because I think DeLay is a good defensive catcher. And to be honest, I kind of see a little bit of Stallings in him because he's kind of like the guy that's, you know, he ain't doing good. He ain't doing great with a bat in Triple-A. You know, he's kind of just there for his defense, but he does have that defense. And, you know, Stallings can't necessarily will bounce around as kind of that, you know, third string catcher, last catcher on the 40-man roster for a while, got DFA'd here and there. And look at how good he did in 2019 and look at what we got out of him in the offseason. I mean, I'm not saying that DeLay's absolutely going to be the next Jacob Stallings, but I mean, I would, but I mean, I kind of see the trend going on there. I would love to see it happen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it could be a guy that sticks around for a little bit. I would love to see it too. Jason DeLette gets his first major league hit. Save that baseball, of course. It'd be fun to see if he can stick around for a while. But you kind of touched on it there, Noah. The Futures game coming up, part of All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. Henry Davis and Michael Burrows selected from the Pirates to be a part of the game this year. Talk about what your thoughts are on these two and maybe some other guys around the league. Anthony Volpe's of the world. These guys that got you excited for this year's Futures game.
So I'm just happy to see Burrows there because I want him to succeed so badly. And going into this year, I had the same concern everyone else. Just like, well, that third pitch, I don't know how he's going to do in the upper minors. You know, he only has two pitches right now. That changeup's like a work in progress. I don't know what he's going to do now. I don't know how that he's going to fare against Double A batters and eventually Triple A guys. And he's proved that he can sharpen that pitch up. And the changeups look good this year. He has been a spin rate darling. He has that high spin rate curveball and fastball, and those pitches have always looked great. So it was always a question of, well, is a changeup ever going to come along? It looks like it's come along, and everything, if you read anything about him, it's always positive. He's like, this guy's probably one of the best pitching prospects Pittsburgh has. This guy should be a top 100 prospect. And you know, if that third pitch is really out where everyone's saying it is, I don't see why he wouldn't be.
I'm right there with you. I've been excited to see him make a rise. Michael Burrows, of course, a friend of the podcast here. We love watching him succeed. All these guys, of course, but excellent to see him get that call to the Futures game. But some other roster moves this week is Yuri De Los Santos makes his return. Anthony Banuelos as well is selected. Your thoughts on these two moves and, any other roster moves that caught your eye this week?
I've always liked De Los Santos. I think he kind of flies under the radar because if it weren't for Bednar, I think he would be our best option for the ninth inning. But I still think he's going to be the long-term eighth inning guy unless we add somebody in the offseason or at the deadline, which may not at the deadline. Could see it in the offseason because there's a decent amount of relief pitchers, but I think he's a good guy to rely on for the eighth inning long term. He's young. He has that mid-90s sinker, fastball, slider. I've always liked him because I think he's good. He's just kind of always flew under the radar on prospect lists because he's a relief pitcher. Relief pitchers always never get too much attention from prospect evaluations. So I think he's a decent guy we can rely on long term. Banuelos, I mean, it just kind of seems like he's here just to say, hey, you know, what we have to lose in giving him a shot. I'm rooting for him because he's a former prospect, and who knows, maybe you find something in him. But yesterday's game did not look great, so we'll see what happens from here on out. He's been up and down a lot in his career. He debuted in 2015 and has appeared very sporadically, so it's kind of a who knows what he has. We'll just see because we have the opportunity to give him a shot.
Yeah, it's kind of a why not deal, like you said. But good to see him get the opportunity here, and we'll kind of see how that shakes out. Now, as we begin to wrap it up tonight, we do our minor league minute each week. Your thoughts on the minor leagues, and anything else? Maybe your favorite minor leaguer of the week, or maybe your favorite team of the week. Just kind of your thoughts on the minor league minute.
So it might not just be for the week, but I've liked what Carmen Majinski's done his last handful of starts. Because last year, he had an okay year, not a great year, just kind of did decent, nothing stand out. He got a lot of strikeouts. Overall, he did okay with Greensboro. He was injured here and there, but he's come out this year, and, you know, he came out of the gates this year, and it was like, oh, shit. You know, it was like, well, I hope he didn't bust on that. I hope we did not just pick bust on that pick, because came out and gave up like 9 or 10 runs in 11 innings. And it was like, it was worrying some, but in his last handful of starts, he's looked really good. He has a 3.40 ERA, 3.27 FIP in his last 11 starts. So if I had to pick a guy to be the minor leaguer of the week, it'd be him, because he's looked great the last handful since late April. So I hope he does. I think he's a guy that could really secure a spot in this rotation long term. I think he's a guy that flies under the radar when you talk about Pirates pitching prospects. You know, we talk about Priester all the time. We're talking about Burrows all today. Majinski just kind of is there and he's doing good. He's not super flashy because he doesn't have that 100-mile-an-hour fastball or 100-mile-an-hour sinker or that wipeout slider that breaks from one batter's box to the other. But you got this guy that goes out there, gives you six innings of good ball, and gets the job done.
Yeah, that's well put. I mean, he really is entered the organization and rose pretty quickly compared to a lot of these guys here. So we'll see, you know, what his path looks like. But I think we're going to see him sooner than later.
Absolutely.
And I think he could stick around for quite some time. Noah, as we kind of wrap it up here, your final thoughts on this series with Cincinnati, what's coming up, and anything else you're excited for in Pirates baseball the rest of July?
I'm looking forward to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby. I like the Home Run Derby personally more than the All-Star game. I know that's unpopular opinion.
No, I'm with you.
But I'm looking forward to All-Star festivities. Obviously, I'm looking forward to the MLB draft because I feel like we're going to do pretty good in that. Ben Charrington's done pretty well in his two drafts so far, so looking forward to that. And I'm just looking forward to kicking off the second half. Hopefully we can do a bit better. I honestly don't think this team is as bad as they've played. I mean, you watch them. The pitching goes out and does its job every night. It's the offense that struggled a lot this year. And, you know, once we get guys like Swaggerty and Bay and some other guys up here, that should at least get a little better. And you'd hope that we'd be, you know, we get more wins in the second half. Because, I mean, honestly, starting pitching at least has been great the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Relief pitching needs a little work, but we have some guys in the minors coming up. Same thing. And the offense has been, I'm going to say it, offense has been bad, but it should get better as we bring up some young guys. So looking forward to seeing what we do in the second half, especially now knowing now that Roansy Contreras is going to start that first game against the Marlins in Pittsburgh and to kick off the second half, to kick off festivities after the All-Star break.
It'll be a fitting start having Roansy on the mound there. And, you know, the theme of our last episode on Run Budget Radio was the fact that Pirates baseball is getting fun again. O'Neill Cruz is here. All these youngsters are coming. And it is making the game a lot of fun again. Noah, thank you so much for coming on as always. We're going to have other staff writers coming on here in the coming weeks. And I'm going to be rejoined by Marty Leap and Nick Caparosa here real soon. We're going to be talking about the deadline, the draft, the rest of July, and everything else in Pirates baseball. But until then, my name is Trey Yannity. For Noah Wright, this has been episode number 85 of Run Budget Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Let's go Bucks.